بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, in our last episode of this series, we spoke about the amazing dua made by Musa alayhi salam after he fled from the city of Egypt and he proceeded towards the city of Midian where Shu'aib alayhi salam had resided with his two daughters. The dua that he made, and what was more amazing and fascinating than the dua was how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had responded to the dua made by Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Today we move on to another dua of another great Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and he is known in the Quran with different titles. Nabi Yunus, Yunus alayhi salam. At times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to him as Dhunnun. Dhunnun, An-Nun means the fish or the whale. Dhunnun, the man of the whale or the man of the fish. And elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to him as Sahibul Hoot. Al-Hoot also refers to a whale, a large fish is referred to as Al-Hoot. Sahibul Hoot, the companion of the large fish. And at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to him by his proper name, which is Yunus alayhi salam. Some background with regards to this Nabi and the circumstances that led to him making the dua that he made, and what dua or how do I make the dua, at which point in my life will I use the dua of Yunus alayhi salam when supplicating to Allah and invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. Yunus alayhi salam, he was sent to the people of Nineveh. Nineveh was a township, or it was a little village in the region of Mosul. Now Mosul, many of us, perhaps recently we have learned of the city of Mosul. Before, many of us did not know of the city of Mosul. But recently, since there was this uprising in Asham, in the land of Syria, and specifically in Al-Iraq, we came to learn of the city of Mosul. The city of Mosul was the financial hub. Well, today there's not much left of that city, but it was considered the financial capital and the economic capital of Iraq. So Yunus alayhi salam, he lived in the village of Nineveh, and he came from the city of Mosul in Iraq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him over there to preach to the people of Mosul, to the people of Al-Iraq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. Allah says, we sent him to a community, to a people of 100,000. In fact, Allah says they were more than 100,000. So he had to come and, you know, bring about this transformation in the life of 100,000 people. In fact, plus 100,000 individuals whom he had to work with and who he was required to invite towards Islam. They rejected his call, as was common with the people and every Nabi in the initial stages of his preaching and his prophethood. He was rejected by his people. Out of their arrogance, out of their defiance, they had rejected Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam persisted and insisted, and he kept on calling his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to embrace the message of Islam. But they defied Yusuf alayhi salam, and because of the arrogance they refused him. Yunus alayhi salam, he left the place. He left this area, this city, or this village of Nineveh. He became so annoyed, and he was so frustrated by them not listening to his preaching and to his du'as and to his invite. What did he do? Eventually he decided, I'm going from here. I am leaving these people. And he warned them that Allah's wrath, Allah's punishment would descend upon them within 3 days. He says, watch, within 3 days, this entire community who have defied me and who have rejected me, a divine punishment will descend upon them within 72 hours from the warning. And he departed from the township. The people realized that perhaps this warning, this was something unique about the people of Yunus alayhi salam. Every other Nabi, when he warned his community and when he warned his people, they did not heed the warning. And they remained heedless. And they did not take precaution. But they would mock at the Nabi. Look at Musa alayhi salam. Look at Nuh alayhi salam. When he told them, even when the rains started falling and water started gushing forth from every area of the earth, then too, they said, nah, this is a passing shower or it is a passing rainfall. But Yunus alayhi salam, the community of Yunus residing in Al-Iraq, they thought to themselves, after Yunus alayhi salam was annoyed and he became upset with them and frustrated, he left that city, they took the warning a bit more serious. And according to some versions, they had actually seen the signs of an impending disaster. That they could actually see the clouds coming towards, they weren't like the people of Hud. The people of Hud, when they saw the clouds coming, these heavy, thick clouds, they started dancing out of excitement. These are Sahabatu Matar, Sahabatu Matar, these are rain clouds, these are rain clouds. And prior to that, they were suffering from a drought. And Hud warned them, these are not rain clouds. These are clouds that are carrying the azab and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the people of Yunus, when they saw these thick, dark clouds coming over that area of Iraq, they realized that this is the punishment of Allah. This is the punishment of Allah. Yunus alayhi salam had spoken the truth. So what did they do? They started lamenting, they started bewailing, they invoked Allah's forgiveness, they invoked Allah's protection. In fact, according to one narration, they repented to such an extent that they retired to the forest. They took the animals, they took their livestock, they took the cattle and everything with them, and they went into the forest. And there in the forest, they started supplicating sincerely, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we learn when you see the warning signs. Sometimes in our country also, we experience some strange weathers that we have never experienced before. Hurricanes and waters. The waters are rising every now and again. We are witnessing recently, what we have witnessed in the Cape region in Nizna. These are warning signs from Allah that should be taken serious. So what do you do? What the people of Yunus did. Allahu Akbar. They were on the verge of being destroyed. But look at the rahmah and the mercy of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they repented sincerely, made tawbah. Everyone as an individual, don't look to the next person and say, well, khair, I'm fine. I do not have to make tawbah. Because Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when an azab comes, when a punishment comes, لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاسَ. It's not only going to affect the impious only, but it's also going to affect the pious. Everyone will be affected by the punishment and the torment which is directed towards a certain community. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their sincere tawbah. Allah accepted their wailing. Allah accepted their repentance from their sins. And while these events were taking place, now remember Yunus alayhi salam, he left the village of Nineveh and he went to another village. And he was now waiting. When 72 hours passed, Yunus alayhi salam, he did not receive any news about the destruction of his people. He was expecting now to be told that your people have been destroyed, the entire community have been destroyed, and that's it. Done. Your mission is over. Yunus alayhi salam waited. 3 days had passed and he warned them. Ulama and scholars say, yeah, he acted upon the command of Allah. How did he know that punishment was going to come within 3 days' time? Because Allah informed him. Why did he leave his people? He acted upon divine revelation and divine instruction. He left his people and he went away in another part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want him to be affected by the punishment that was about to strike his people. When 3 days passed, Yunus alayhi salam is awaiting for some information. He was expecting his entire community to be destroyed. But when he learned that the storm had passed and the people were safe and sound, he realized that the storm had passed them and they were safe and they were sound and nothing had happened to his people. Now he feared going back. He feared going back to his people. Why? Because it was customary amongst his people that a liar, they would now accuse him of lying. This is how he thought. He did not know they made tawbah and they turned to Allah and now they are ready to embrace the message of Yunus alayhi salam. He felt that if I go back, they're going to accuse me of lying. And a liar in their community was punished by death. He was punished by death. Anyone was considered to be a liar. You lied to us, you promised us that in 3 days' time this is what's going to happen. It didn't happen. So he felt it's better for me not to go back to my community. This decision of his was not upon divine revelation. This decision that he made, this was based on his ijtihad. This is a personal feeling that he had. It was justifiable. It was a justified decision, but he did not act upon divine wahi from Allah. So when he warned them of a punishment coming within 3 days' time, that was divinely inspired to him. When he left his people out of fear of the punishment, that was divine revelation that came to him. But now, what was expected of him was to come back to his community. That is what was expected of him. But what did he do? He now used his personal ijtihad, his discretion. And he felt that if I go back, I'm in big trouble. So that's when he left his community. When he left his community, he came across a river on his way. And this was a huge river. Probably one of those common, the Tigris or the Euphrates, a river in Iraq, could have been one of those rivers. Or it was a huge river which led into the ocean. So he came across this river and he boarded a boat, a large boat. He says, you know what, it's better for me to go to another community and preach to some other people. Now he's not acting upon divine revelation. And thus he proceeded. While crossing the river, it so happened that the boat was now caught in a whirlpool in the river. This is now the system of Allah. This is the plan of Allah. This is now Allah's plan coming into motion. And there was this huge whirlpool. And this boat was being tossed about. And Allah speaks of it in the Quran. That the boatmen, they decided that, you know what? This boat is overloaded. Somebody needs to be thrown off the boat. A single passenger needs to be thrown off the boat. But who are they going to throw off the boat? Fasahama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the Quran, Fasahama fakana minal mudhadin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so they cast lots. They took the names of every passenger and they drew lots. And when they drew out the first name, it was the name of Yunus. Allah's plan, Allah's system. But they, when they looked at Yunus alayhi salam, they could see the signs of an Allah fearing person on this man. They could make out that he is a sincere slave of Allah. They said, no, leave this man alone. Let us draw lots for a second time. When they drew lots for a second time again, it was the name of Yunus alayhi salam. For a third time again they drew lots, it was again the name of Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam himself, now he realized that this is a system of Allah. Allah wants me to disembark this boat in the center of this river as it is leading into the ocean. So Yunus alayhi salam, what did he decide to do? He decided to plunge into the ocean. And Allah speaks of this in the Quran. فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ Yunus alayhi salam was the one who had to disembark the ocean. At that point and at that time, Allah divinely inspired a whale. Allah refers to the whale as An-Noon in the Quran. And Allah refers to this whale as Hoot, Sahibul Hoot. This Hoot, which came from the Caspian Sea. It, at that point and time, it made its way to that specific point where Yunus alayhi salam had plunged into that river. And as he plunged, Allah says, فَالْتَقَمَهُ فَالْتَقَمَهُ As soon as he plunged, that whale swallowed him. Faltaqam means one large swallow, without biting him, without crushing him, without hurting him. This huge whale had swallowed Yunus alayhi salam. And now, since you have understood the background, you will understand these verses of the Quran, which were recited, by the way, in the Taraweeh Salah this evening in the 17th para. And that's an amazing para, because most of the du'as, you will find the du'a of Ayyub that we discussed, the du'a of Zakariya, which we will discuss at a later stage, the du'a of Yunus alayhi salam. All these du'as are mentioned there. And Allah, after every du'a, Allah, what does Allah say? فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ We responded to him. We answered the du'a. We responded to him. We answered to the du'a. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, briefly speaks about the du'a that that specific Nabi made. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَنُّونَ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَادِبًا Allah says, tell them, mention to them, speak to them of the noon. Who is the noon? The man of the fish. The man of the fish. The title of Yunus alayhi salam. When he walked away in anger. Allah says, مُغَادِبًا إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَادِبًا He walked away in anger. He walked away in anger when he realized that Allah's punishment did not befall his people. He became angry and upset and frustrated that now I cannot go back to my people. So Allah says, مُغَادِبًا In a state of frustration and anger, he walked away from his community. فَظَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ And Allah says, and he thought that we will never put him into trouble. This is what he thought. Yunus alayhi salam, what did he think? That we will never put him into trouble. We will never test him with any difficulty, with any hardship. فَظَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ And that is when he found himself in trouble. He found himself in the belly of this fish. Allah says, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ Imagine how dark it was in the... I mean, you and I think about it. Being in the belly of a huge fish. This is no story, this is no fairy tale, this is a reality. It happened and Allah speaks of it in the Quran. There can be absolutely no doubt with regards to the reality of this incident. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he sat in the belly of a huge whale, in the darkness. Allah says, فَنَادَى. Remember we spoke about nada? What does nada mean? To shout out. But it doesn't really mean he shouted out. It means the intensity and the strength and the fervor with which he made the dua. That was loud. That was loud. But he didn't shout out. So his words were only his whisper. But he spoke them with such intensity that Allah says, he shouted out to Allah. فَنَادَى. Allah says, فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. Zulumat in layers of darkness. One is the darkness of the belly of the fish. Then the darkness of the waves. The darkness of the ocean. In that darkness, you and I, sometimes we find ourselves in a dark, dark spot in life. Right? Sometimes it's because of a financial situation you find yourself in zulumat. Like how Yunus alayhi salam found himself in zulumat. And that's why this dua is so apt for you and I. Because sometimes, like how Yunus alayhi salam found himself in that dark spot, you could sometimes be in a very dark spot in your life. Okay, and maybe sometimes you may have just come through that very dark spot in your life. What should you do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he was in the darkness. He was in the darkness. He called out to Allah. When you are in the darkness, when you are in that trouble, you're in some big problem. He was in a big problem, right? I mean, being in the belly of the ocean, that's nothing, that's nothing. He's in the belly of the ocean. The only one he can turn to is Allah. He's there in 40 days. 40 days he spent in the belly of the ocean. And Allah says, if he wasn't from the musabbihin, if he wasn't from those who consistently glorified Allah, la labitha fi batni, he would have remained in the belly of the ocean. So what is Allah teaching you? If you are in that darkness, in that dark spot in your life, and you don't seem to move, be able to move forward, nothing seems to be working out for you. In your home, nothing seems to be working out between you and your wife. With your children, nothing seems to be working out. In your business, nothing seems to be working out. Everything, the world has closed itself upon you and you find yourself in this darkness. Allah says, what must you do? Glorify Allah. Praise Allah. Call Allah. The way Yunus alayhi salam. Lawla kan. Allah says, if he wasn't from the musabbihin, you're going to stay in the dark spot for the rest of your life if you don't turn to Allah. Just as Yunus alayhi salam, he was a Nabi of Allah, but Allah says, if he did not remember me, he would have stayed in the dark spot. And you and I also, if you're not going to remember Allah during those dark moments, Allah will keep you in the dark spot. And you'll just see, you'll try to make your way out, but you're just digging yourself deeper into that hole. So Allah says, when he was in those darknesses, what did he say? And this is a dua that he made. Allah says, he called us in the depths of darkness, saying, what did he say? La ilaha illa anta. La ilaha illa anta. Oh Allah, there is no ilah. There is no ilah but you. There is no God but you. What is the meaning of ilah? Let us understand, what does ilah mean. You know, we say la ilaha illallah. There is no ilah but Allah. What is ilah? Ilah is the first thing you turn to in the moment of distress, that becomes your ilah. So if you are suffering from pain, and the first thing that comes to your mind is your medication, that medication is your ilah. The first thing that comes to your mind is your doctor is your ilah. If you are in a financial difficulty, and the first person who comes to your mind is your bank manager, he is your ilah. When you are starving, or you are in a difficult situation, and that becomes your ilah. So who should be our ilah? Allah. When you are suffering from pain, the first one who should come to our mind is Allah. Then Allah is your ilah. When you are suffering financially, the first one who should come to your mind, Allah, that is your ilah. So whoever you turn to, or whatever direction you turn to at the moment of anxiety and distress, that direction which you turn to, that person whom you turn to, that source that you have turned towards, that is your ilah. And la ilaha, there's no ilaha, there's no ilaha, there's no one I turn to but you, O Allah. La ilaha, there's no ilaha, O Allah, illa anta, but you, subhanak, subhanak, you are pure, O Allah. You are pure, subhanallah, Allah is pure. What is Allah pure for? From every weakness, from every blemish, from every fault, from every sort of injustice, subhanak, you are pure. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Indeed, I was among the wrongdoers. Oh Allah, I put myself into this hole. I was not supposed to go ahead with that deal. I was not supposed to go ahead with that plan of mine. I was not supposed to go. I dug myself into this hole. I am the one who's wrong. You are pure. What an amazing way to call unto Allah when you are in difficulty. Remember this dua. And whenever you're experiencing anxiety, the best antidepressant is this dua. The best antidepressant is this dua. When a person is suffering from depression, anxiety, stress, let him recite, let her recite this dua repeatedly. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minal zalimeen. Oh Allah, I acknowledge that I am the wrongdoer. I am the one who have oppressed myself and I have wronged myself. What did Allah say? Fastajabna lah. So we responded to Yunus alayhi salam. We answered his dua because of the manner in which he spoke to us. And look what Allah says. What did we save him from? Allah says, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ. And we rescued him from the anxiety. So this is a dua that you want for anxiety. Because Allah says he was suffering. He was going through psychological stress down there. He was suffering from depression. He was suffering from distress, anxiety. All of this, gham, that is gham. You know, gham is that thing which takes away your sleep. That is gham. The restlessness in your heart, that unsettled feeling within your mind, that is gham. So Allah says, we saved him. When he made this dua, we saved him from gham, from that anxiety, from that worry, from that distress. If you are faced with any worry, distress, anxiety, from whichever quarters it may be coming. It may be coming now from multiple different avenues, that that stress is mounting upon you. Allah says, we will help you, we will save you from that gham if you call out to us and supplicate to us with this dua. So Allah says, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ. We rescued him from the distress. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, and this is how we rescue the believers. So in other words, if every other believer calls to me with these words, similarly we will save him from that gham. If any other believer is suffering from gham, then we too will save him from that gham, from that depression and anxiety and distress, as we had saved Yunus alayhi salam from the gham that he was experiencing at that moment. And from this evening, we have learned the dua that will help you and assist you at the time of anxiety and distress. Note, it must be repeated as often as possible. As often as possible. In fact, we call it Ayat Karima. This is known as Ayat Karima. And sometimes you hear people say, why don't you make khatam? Why don't you make a khatam of Ayatul Karima? Why don't you recite this Ayatul Karima? It is recommended that it should be recited daily 360 times on a daily basis. Recite this ayah. Sit with the family. Have those beads, those kajur dates and so forth. Sit with the family, with the wife, with the children. Whether you are suffering from any anxiety or not, make this a daily practice in your home. Allah, you'll see barakah in your home. You'll see blessings in your home through the recitation of this ayah. So it is an antidepressant when you are in a state of anxiety, and it's also a deterrent. It's a measure that you can implement in order to save yourself from anxiety and from distress in this world and in the akhirah as well. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.